In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the beautiful things about the church is the fact that with all of its various cycles and feasts, they all sort of get scrambled up at different times and come together in unusual ways. So today, for instance, we celebrate the procession of the Holy Cross, which we have at the end of liturgy. We also have the beginning of the Dormition Fast, hence the blue. The cross is red, hence the blue and the red. And yet it's also on a Sunday where, as always, except in the case of great feasts of the Lord, the resurrectional hymns take precedence. And so every day of the year, every Sunday of the year certainly, we get this wonderful kind of mix where different things are touching one to the other. Different things are happening. And the challenge is to try and connect all of those things that are happening at one time. Now let's start then with the procession of the cross. Why is it done today? Well, there are three cross processions during the year, of course. The most important is in September, on September 14th, where we actually exalt the cross. It's called the universal exaltation of the precious and all-holy cross of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the full title. The second time the cross comes out in the church is the third Sunday of Great Lent. So it's also a very important day. And this particular day is really a feast that most people don't get to celebrate except when it happens on a Sunday. And the background to this is a little bit unusual because it's based on a historical circumstance why the cross was brought out. And this happened in the 1100s. Way back in the 1100s, when it happened at concurrent times in Greece, the Greeks were fighting off the Saracens, and the Russians were fighting off the Bulgars. And both, of course, had false faiths and were trying to persuade the Orthodox to abandon them, if not by reasoning, then by force. And because of this, in Constantinople, as also in Moscow and several other places in Russia, there was a procession with the cross in order to give strength to the people and to encourage the people to pray so that these terrible enemies would be defeated. Now, in our day and age, in this country, that might seem a little bit weird to us because, first of all, we're not an Orthodox country, and so we can't really understand the mindset of a particular faith so engulfing an entire nation, an entire people. But for both the Greeks and the Russians, this was very important. And in fact, at that time, they were also processing with icons of the Mother of God. And it is said in both instances that these icons were shining. They were shining rays upon the people during these times. And in fact, we know this because of letters that went back and forth from the rulers of both countries after all this was over that showed that indeed the same things had happened in both places at almost the same time. And so the cross, it was determined in Constantinople, should be brought out on this day. Actually, it started on July 31st, but then carries over until August 1st. And so both countries simultaneously established this feast of the procession of the Holy Cross. Now, the cross had actually been brought out on this day earlier in Constantinople because August, evidently, at that time of year in that place, August was a very difficult time for people because of a lot of viruses, plagues, things like this that tend to hit the people during the hottest month of August. And so the cross would be brought out as a protection for the people in the city. We know this because of testimony to it that goes back into the 8th century. So you see that this idea of a procession on this day is actually something that is quite old, and yet is established in two different ways. But also very important on this day, we celebrate the Maccabean martyrs. Solomonia, the mother of seven sons, and their teacher, Eleazar, who were martyred on this day. Now, if you have not read the story of the Maccabees, I encourage you to do that. It's found in 2 Maccabees, chapters 6 and 7, and also in 4 Maccabees in the 18th chapter, although 4 Maccabees is not really recognized as a canonical book of the church, but yet at the same time, this story is touched upon in that chapter. And of course, the Maccabees were very devout Jews who were living in an age under Antiochus Epiphanes IV, who was a Greek man who was trying to Hellenize all of the Jews, was doing his best, in fact, to completely rid the Jews of their religion. And this old man named Eleazar is someone who said that no, he was not going to do these things, because a lot of pressure was being put on all of the Jews at that time to abandon their faith and to adopt paganism. Eleazar said no, and he was a man advanced in years. And so the emperor, Antiochus Epiphanes, came to him and said, You're a very old man now. What do you really care? In fact, I'll tell you what, if you will just feign giving up your religion, even though you're secretly holding it, that will be okay with me. And Eleazar said, forget it. No. Why would I do that after all these years of practicing my faith? And what they were trying to do, and again, this seems strange to us today, but it was very important back then, they were trying to get him to eat pork. And pork, of course, was forbidden, absolutely forbidden to the Jews. And though it may seem like a minor thing to us, to them back then, this was a touchstone of their faith. If you would do this, you would do anything. And so he refused and was martyred in a terrible, terrible manner. And then the wonderful Solomonia, whose icon we have out in the narthex today, she also, because of the number of children in her family, came under fire in this same way. Eat this meat. Forget your religion. Turn to paganism. All will be well with you. And then Antiochus was enticing her with the things that we hear so many times in the lives of the saints. Glory, honor, riches beyond description. We hear this over and over again, all the way up through the new martyrs of the Turkish yoke, when they were trying to get the Orthodox to give up their faith. And yet, Solomonia said, no, I will not do this. And well, Antiochus said then, well, perhaps I can persuade you. And so they brought out each one of her 7 sons, one by one, and martyred them in manners that are almost beyond description. In fact, if you read these chapters, these 2 chapters in 2 Maccabees, the thing that will strike you is their similarity to so many of the lives of the Christian martyrs, so many of them, the things that happened to them, the things that they were going to do, the things that they threatened. And so Solomonia was made to watch that first son go to a horrible death. And yet they were thinking she would be just shrieking in terror and give up anything for the sake of her sons. But then, like the later Christian martyrs as well, no, she encouraged them to be brave and to suffer rather than be ejected from their faith. Because of this, they are considered in many ways to be those who are testifying to Christ, early martyrs testifying to Christ, because they came in that what we call the intertestamental period between the end of the Jewish scriptures and the beginning of the New Testament, where the Greeks were all involved in these things and were trying to get the Jews to become more Hellenized. And in fact, Eleazar, whom I just mentioned, went to his death, was one of the translators of the Septuagint, which is our Greek Old Testament. But then Solomonia hesitated yet again, and they whispered in her ear and said, look, you don't want to see this continue. And she said, you're right, I don't want to see this continue. But I'm not going to abandon the faith. Neither will I encourage my sons to abandon the faith. And so one by one, numbers 2 through 6 came up and were martyred right in front of her eyes in the same way. Until finally the last youngest son came up. And they said to her, surely You have got one son left. Please spare him. And yet the son this time spoke up and said, I will go to be with my brother soon. Do not, mother, say anything against this. Because they were strong, I am strong. I'm not going to give up the faith either. And so he also was martyred before her. Finally, she stood over their bodies. She prayed to God for their souls. And then she too, by the grace of God, fell over dead. So seven brothers, their mother, their teacher, Eleazar, in an amazing, amazing passage of the Holy Scriptures, give up their lives to maintain that faith which was not yet Christian, but which was at the very end of Judaism when Christianity was going to be fulfilled, or Judaism was going to be fulfilled by the coming of Christ. A remarkable story. And so how do we tie that in again with this Sunday? Eleazar, Solomonia, her sons all showed that devotion to the faith was the primary things in their lives, was the thing that was going to be the greatest event in their lives, which they had to maintain for the sake of all of their lives, because they speak even of the resurrection in these passages. And so it's important for us to know what it takes in order for us, now that we have received the revelation of Christ, to become those great, great Christians, willing to give up our lives if we needed to do so. St. Paul, in his epistle to the Romans today, talks about that. He talks about the gifts that all of us have received, that we are to live up to these gifts, that we are to offer them to God. And he talks about all the different things that are part of these gifts that we have. Whether we have the gift of teaching, it is given to us by God. Whether we have the gift, he talks about, of contribution, of money, it is given to us by God. Whether we weep for those who are weeping, whether we visit those who are sick, whether we do all of these different things, they are given to us by God. And so by making use of all of these gifts, we are simply returning to God, which is already His, which we will not have otherwise. That is the mark of our Christianity. That he says again, that we are to be known by the love that we have for others. That we are to bless those and not curse them who persecute us. That we are to imitate our Lord Jesus Christ. It's such a beautiful passage in Romans today. Romans 12, I think 6 through 14. Go home and read it again and see what it is to be a Christian, and to see how even Eleazar and Solomonia and her sons demonstrate to us before Christ how important this is. My brothers and sisters, we are living in a world that is, well, it's really screwed up. It really is. Everywhere you look, there's such craziness going on all around us. And there's been craziness that happened to the Christian people before, but this is something that is very difficult for us, that we have to maintain our own spirituality, our own sense of the faith, our own dedication to Christ, and importantly, dedication to His community, the church, which is His body. These are the things that are so important to us, and we can't let them just sort of slide by us. We have to be aware of them. We have to know that this is the most important thing in our lives, in any of our lives, because it's the only thing that we're going to be able to take with us. The only thing. And so Christianity, Orthodox Christianity, the great gift that our Savior has given to the world, has to be proclaimed by us, but yet we're in no position to proclaim it unless we are living the lives ourselves. If we're not, then we're just, as St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, we're just clanging cymbals. I mean, we're just noisemakers who are saying things that we've heard that we think may be true, but yet are not internalizing them, are not living them. So this is something very important for all of us to know and to take to heart today. When the cross comes out at the end of liturgy, this cross that was first foretold by Moses when he held up the serpent in the wilderness, This cross that even then healed people, so much more now it heals us. And so this is something we have to keep in mind, that we have to pay attention to, that we have to worship because of Him who hung upon it. So my dear brothers and sisters, as I've said so many times, sleepers awake. Come to Christ. Pay attention to the faith. Pay attention to the holiness of the church that you are in, and absorb that and take it into yourselves and become little walking gospels when you leave the church today. This is what we need to do. This is what we are called to do. So let us, as St. Paul encourages us, let us live up to this calling and make use of all the gifts which our Lord Jesus Christ gives to us today. Amen.